The next book, Thessalonians. Paul visits Thessalonica in his second missionary trip, which was recorded in Acts chapter 17. The member of Thessalonica was quite good, and their church was established. When did Paul write this letter? He wrote it in about 50 AD. So, 1 Thessalonians were supposed to be the earliest letter or the first ever letter that Paul wrote to churches. It's earlier than any other letters. But there's also very important letters. AD 50 is less than 20 years since Jesus died on the cross. At that time, they still remember Lord Jesus' teachings. Jesus tell them he will come again. And in the Acts of Apostles, the angels tell them the same thing. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Verse 10 to 11. Next. Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. So Jesus' instruction through the angels is that the very same Jesus you saw went up will come down. But the timing was not mentioned when Jesus will come back. So the early day Christian, they have a sense of urgency. They really feel that Jesus is coming back very soon. For example, if I tell you, wait for me, right? I'll come back. Just get things ready. I'll come back and then I go. And what do you think? Well, probably will come back, right? Pretty soon, maybe. Not even today, it'll be tomorrow, next day, next week, next month. So, the early member, they have a really sense of urgency that Jesus is coming very, very soon. And this letter, 1 Thessalonians, you can see the urgency, the imminent of Jesus' second coming. So Paul established the church there, and then he left for other places. But the problem is, the member in Thessalonica, they were facing some kind of tribulations and hardship. So Paul knew about that, and Paul was worried about them. Paul worried about them that they may not hold on to the faith. So Paul decided, I must write a letter to encourage them, to tell them Jesus is coming very soon. So you have to hang on to that faith and don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged by the Jews who persecute you. Don't be discouraged by a friend who mock you. Even though you lose your property, even you may be hurt, put to jail, but don't lose heart. Jesus is coming very soon. Is to give assurance about the faith. So this is the first letter he wrote, and also is a very important letter. Because in this letter and the second letter of Thessalonica, the theme are similar. The theme is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 主耶稣再来。There is a special term given to this subject. It's called eschatology. Eschatology. G 有没有 spell 错？ Eschatology 终末论，这是终末论。 This means the doctrine of the end time, the doctrine of the last things or the end time. Becausethat subject is very important. Jesus Christ talks about a little bit about that when he was on earth, the signs of the end times. But Paul, under the revelation of the Holy Spirit, describes something more detailed. More detail can happen. So by understanding eschatology, you will know the nature of Jesus' coming, resurrection, trials and suffering,and how to live a holy life. So these are all related. You have to understand Jesus coming very soon so that you know what to prepare and what to be expecting. Just like you come to YTTC, right? Has anyone tell you what YTTC is like before you come? Do you have expectation? You know that your phone will be confiscated, right? You know that there'll be no freedom going, walking around, right?You've got to expect some expectation. But you know this is important. In order to learn, to be focused, you have to follow the rules. So that's the same. In order to know Jesus is very coming, very soon you have to prepare yourself. So that's the teachings. But let's look at the book itself. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1.Verse 3. Next. Yes, chapter 1, verse 3. Once again, I've given you this answer of my assignment, right? Once again, it's mentioned about faith, hope, and love. But you have to expand about it and find the other places too, right? What's the relationship?So Paul emphasized, being a Christian, following Lord Jesus Christ, what's the difference? You look at your friends, they're also going to school, they also find a job, they also form a family. But we are also doing the same thing. But what's the difference of our life compared to their life? The difference is we have faith, we have hope, and we have love in Lord Jesus Christ.So that is so fundamentally different. Our value is different. The way we live in this world will be different. Verse 6. Next. It tells us that joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy given by the Holy Spirit. So that echo the theme that later. Which book talk about joy? From now you should be memorizing all the theme and Bible verses and of each book, because that will be in the exam. Which book talk about joy? Philippians. And once again, what is the single most important reason that a Christian can have joy?If you only ask to allow to give one reason, why is that? In this verse. Joy given by who? Holy Spirit. Of course, we list 10 reasons, 11 reasons. But the single most important reason of joy is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. God fill you full of the Holy Spirit. You pray, you feel the Holy Spirit. Even though you're very poor, you're joyful. Now, at that time,the member in Thessalonica, they were already under some kind of persecution. How many of you has been mocked by your friends because of your faith? Or they look down on you, they laugh about you. How many of you have suffered some kind of persecution or mockery? Have you? What did they say about you, Bianca?Right? Oh, they're laughing at you as a virgin. Okay. So they're very sarcastic when they say this, right? So what do you reply then? I'm proud to be a virgin. You're not a virgin. You're not clean. Yeah, of course, in my of course we don't say this, right? Is we don't offend people, right? But in your mind, of course, we don't feel good, right? In our mind, we don't feel good when people laugh at us. But at the same time, when you suffer these kind of things, we know that it is very normal, very normal. If we hold our faith, hold our value, people will laugh at us. Yeah. Because we are pure, we don't mess around, we don't have boyfriend, girlfriend, we don't sleep around, we don't smoke, we don't use drugs, we don't go partying, dancing. Of course, if you really follow the word of the law, you look like you're rare, you're very strange, you don't fit in. But doesn't matter, just like what Sister shared with us. I don't care what you say, right? Very good. Jesus will be very happy for you. You shouldn't be caring what they say. Whom should we be caring? We should care what God feels. I'll write this down, very important. You shouldn't care what your friend feels of you. You shouldn't be caring. Why? Because they are not the one giving you salvation. They are not the one who can bless you. You please them, what's the point? They cannot give you any good things. You try to fit in, try to please them, there's no use. Who can give you blessing in your life? Who can give you a good husband in the future? Good wife, good family, good life. God can give it to you. So pleasing Him is more important than pleasing anyone. Let's jump to chapter 2, verse 4. Next. Yeah, Paul's mission when he preached is to please God. He don't care what people think of him. I preach this message, you like me or not, I don't really care. But I just want to tell you what God wants me to say. That is the principle that we are using today. You do it with your friends. I remember I was having the same concern, just like Sister Bianca shared with us. In the high school, in the college years, most of my friends, they have girlfriend already, but I always by myself. Yeah. Of course, partly because of my look, I'm not that handsome. Yeah. But really, I look back, I thank God, right? Because God kept me. God kept me that way. And you agree, right? Yes. That also always very thank God. Right? It's good to be normal, and then this for so many temptations. And then, of course, they laugh at me because they ask me, what do you do in the weekend? I say, church. The church? 1 hour only, right? No, whole day. And sometimes Sunday I also have church work. They cannot understand. They think I'm rare. But I know I'm precious in the eyes of God. So don't care what your friend feels, but care what Jesus feels. That is most important. Okay, so chapter 1, verse 6 is talk about even though you are in big tribulation, but because of the Spirit, you can be joyful. So if you want a joyful life, brother and sister, I really encourage you, start to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit each day, you'll be so joyful. I remember the first time I went to NYTS in 1993. After I went home, I make a determination. I must pray 30 minutes every day. Because in NYTS, I pray 1 hour. Wow, that's so... I feel so close to God. So I went home, I tell myself, at least I have to pray 30 minutes. If I cannot even pray 30 minutes each day, how can I overcome all the temptation? If I don't pray, when I go home 3 weeks, I'll be back to normal. Not back to normal. Now, you are climbing the spiritual hill. But you're back home, if you don't keep it up, you're back to normal very soon. So I pray. Through the prayer, I feel so happy. Even though life is not as smooth as you think of. But I always have joy in my heart. So Thessalonican members are suffering, Paul tell them, pray in the Spirit. Feel the Spirit and you'll be joyful. And also verse 9 is very nice. Verse 9 to 10. Next, verse 9 to 10. Thank you. One of the characteristics of the first Thessalonians is every single chapter, Paul talks about the second coming of Jesus. Every single chapter. So here in chapter 1, talks about waiting for the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 9 talks about three things. Chapter 9 and 10 talk about after we believe in Christ, we have to do three things to prepare the second coming of Christ. First, what is it? Forsake the idols, turn to God. Circle it down in your Bible. This is very precious. You can make a sermon later for that. Turn to God. Chapter 1, verse 9. Circle in your Bible. Return to God. Forsake the idol, return to God. You cannot be close to God unless you forsake certain idols. Idols and God are always trying to occupy your mind. They are fighting to occupy your mind. If you don't forsake the idols, God cannot enter your heart. There was a truth seeker in Toronto. He was, I think I mentioned to you, he's like 70-some years old, retired medical doctor. He was very fervent in Buddhism. He offered incense every morning, and on first day on the 15th of the month, he eat vegetable only, right? So he was very fervent until he find the true God, until he come to our church. They study the truth, and suddenly he discover, I worship the wrong God all my life. I've wasted so much time and effort. So he decided, one day, bring up the telephone, call his niece in Shanghai, tell the niece, please remove all the idols, all the incense, all the idols' table and food, everything, throw it away for me. And the niece asked, are you okay? Because he was so fervent worshiping idols, and now one phone call asking the niece to throw everything outside. And the old brother and the truth seeker, the old papa said, don't ask any question, just do it. Until I come back, I'll explain to you. That's before he received water baptism. He make a call and tell the niece to throw every single idols away. And God gave him the Holy Spirit. He was baptized. Amazing. So what does it tell us? God cannot enter your heart if there are idols. But you may not have idols physically, right? You're born into the church, how can you have idols? But sometimes we have different idols. Maybe you like movie too much, you like pop song too much. All your mind is occupied by worldly things. This is idol. What? Sorry? What kind of idols can be? Right. Enjoyment, physical things. Sin can be idols. Anything occupy your mind more than God is idols. Sometimes your studies can become your idols. If you emphasize your study more than God, study can be an idol. Anything can be an idol. So before you can fully return to God, you have to search, what is inside me? What do I think that is very important? I'm not willing to throw away. What do you love the most? Throw away. And God can enter in. So forsake idol, return to God. The second action here is what? Serving the true and the living God. Circle the word, serve God. First, return to God. Second is to serve God. That is your life. That is the meaning of life come. Why do you serve God? Because God is true and He is living. That means He has life. If you serve Him, you're so privileged and He'll bless you. He is the living and true God. You serve Him, your life is full of meaning. Thirdly, verse 10, wait on the Lord. Wait for God. 等候神, huh? Every single minute now we are doing, you're waiting for the second coming of the Lord. That may not be very far. Of course, they may be. We don't know when it will come. But imagine if you're flying on the Malaysian airline. How many of you fly on Malaysian airline before? 有没有坐过? Olivia, you like it? Okay, right. Do you want to fly it again? Yes. If it's very cheap, maybe, yeah. There was one time I fly Malaysian airline from South Africa to Malaysia to attend a church meeting. Wow, in the middle of the flight, it was shaking like crazy. Maybe the weather at the time, you know, there was a certain area, maybe the certain season, that the turbulence is so much, the plane just let drop 10 story. I was just riding a roller coaster, and then just grabbing the side, right? Just grabbing the side, so hard. But actually, later I think, why you grab so hard if the plane fell? Even if you grab so hard, it's no use. Right. In Time Magazine last week, the issue was dedicated to a lot of coverage about the Malaysian Airlines shot down in Ukraine. There was one picture, it's very stunning. I don't know if you have seen the magazine. That picture is, the background is a field, but there was one person who was still bounded in his seat. He's fall down, the whole person intact, with his seat intact, but it's fall on the field and it's died there. He's still, the body was still wrapped by the seat belt. But the single seat, all the other aircraft, they disintegrated. But that single image struck my mind, that a body with seat belt in his seat in the middle of the field, but it's dead. So, the end of the world is not that far away. It can happen to anyone. Car accident, flight crash, sickness, Ebola, you know. Now, the Ebola is everywhere now. They're spreading. You know Ebola? Do you know what's called Ebola? No, you don't know Ebola? Ebola is one of the deadliest virus that now they are spreading in West Africa. But they could spread to other places of the world. There's no cure. If you contract Ebola, 50% chance you will die. There's no cure. So nowadays the world is so much chaos, so much disease, so much accident, so much war, so much everything, that life is just on the brim. Don't think life is very secure. If God wants us to leave the world, we just leave. But you may face God anytime. So are you ready? You have to ask yourself. If you continue to live the life that you're living right now, are you ready to see God? So you have to make yourself ready to see God. Wait for the Lord. Also, that is very important. Chapter 2, continue to talk about you have to be ready to see God. Chapter 3, let's turn to chapter 3. He talks a little bit about tribulation. Chapter 3, verse 3. Next. This is a preparation for the end time to come. That you know we are destined to tribulation. Underline this verse. 受患难人是命定. It's destined for. What does it mean destined for? That means you will certainly see tribulation sometime, some kind, somehow, along the way. Maybe when you were young, you just mocked by your friends because of your faith. They laugh at you. But at the end time approaches, the persecution may intensify, or the challenges you face personally will increase to the point that it forces you to leave the faith. Therefore, write this down, right? Devil only have two tricks to stop you from going to heaven. He has no more than this. Devil has only two tricks. First is persecution. The second one is deceiving you. He only had these two tricks. Of course, from these two tricks, he can develop small tricks from these two basic principles. The hard one is he persecutes you, beat you, kill your life, so that you say, no, I don't want to believe in anymore. The second one is the soft approach. Change your mind so that you voluntarily left the church, or you hate the church, you hate the preaching, you become unbelievers, or you hate the true church, you leave. So one side is persecution. So I mentioned the woman I mentioned about Sudan, right? Sudan. I really admire her because they are about to stone her to death. And if she denounces her faith, she will be spared to her life. But what happened? She said, no, even though they're going to kill me, I'm still a Christian. So God delivered her, right? She's not dead yet. She was given freedom. But in Roman Empire, remember, after the year about 67 AD, the whole country, wherever you are, if you're within the Roman Empire, if you're a Christian, you will be persecuted. How many of you have been to Rome to visit? You live in UK, Rome. Did you visit the underground churches or the place they worship? No? Where do you go in Rome? Huh? Sightseeing. You didn't go? You should ask the tourist guide to. If next time anyone go to Rome, of course you'll go to Colosseum, right? Colosseum is the place they displays a lot of gladiator fight. But of course Colosseum is the very single place that they feed the lion with Christian, bind them on a stake to burn them up to as a show after the year 67 AD. So Peter died at the time. Paul, his head was, according to legend, his head was chopped off. Almost all the other apostles, they were persecuted to death. Only John were sent to the island to be in exile in Patmos. So, if you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not deceived by the devil, then probably you will face persecution. Of course, if you don't want persecution, you change your faith, your body is spared, but your spiritual life will be finished. So, be ready. Now it's maybe mockery, but in the future it will be more. But if you have a mindset that, yes, sooner or later I may face that, but I'm ready. By God's help, God, you will help me and I can go through it. It's not easy, I tell you, especially in the end days, but God will help us. But how can we help each other? Let's read verse 7. Verse 7 and 8. By faith, verse 7, tell us, in all tribulation, by faith we can get courage. And verse 8 tell us, rely on the Lord, we can stand firm. We cannot rely on ourselves. We cannot rely on anything that we can have, but we must rely on the Lord. Okay, so chapter 4. Verse 1. Next. 1 to 3. Thank you. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, talks about the will of God. The will of God. 神的旨意。What is the will of God? The will of God, many brothers and sisters ask this question. What is the will of God? Let's say, what is the will of God that I should go? Where? Which school should I take? What major is the will of God? Or whom should I marry? What kind of job should I take? People seem to be talking about the will of God a lot. But if you open the Bible, what is the will of God? Will of God. Then from the book of 1 Thessalonians, there's a few clues. First, chapter 4, verse 3. The will of God is for you to abstain from sexual immorality. So this means the will of God is for us to live a holy life. It's for us to live a holy life. No matter what you do, not only sexually speaking, but the friend you make, the places you go, the movie you see, the internet website that you visit, the music that you listen, are they pure? You don't try to please yourself if you want to seek God's will. Well, if you ask what is God's will, that means what does God like? It's not that what you like, right? If you ask what you like, sure, what the flesh like. I like to see dirty movie. I like to listen to crazy music. I like to go and dance and deal with myself. Right? This is what the flesh like. The flesh like to do stuff like that. Every flesh is the same unless you are not normal. Right? Unless you are born differently. Right? But otherwise, flesh like to please itself. But no, if you want to seek God's will, God's will is ask God what God likes. Verse 1, I really like verse 1 we read. You have to please God. So God's will is you have to ask, what does God want? Not what you want. Right? That's the basic principle. Does God like you to make friends with this kind of person? They laugh at you, they do bad things altogether, they tempt you. Does God want you to hang out with them? No. And don't do that. Does God like you to see this kind of movie even though nobody's watching you but you are in front of your computer? Does God like you to watch those things? No, then don't do it. Does God like you to listen to all those crazy musics? No, all those rap and rock and all that. Wow, sometimes I look at them. Sometimes when I'm driving, you know, and then the other car passed by. Wow, the music's so loud. Almost my glass broke. And all the rap thing and then all that. I said, how can someone like this kind of music? And then there was one time I was in a plane, you know, every seat have a TV, right? And I look at what the other side was, the lady watching the MTV, right? I said, what that person look like an animal, you know? Crawling on the stage doing some crazy thing, showing her tongue. And lady, I find, oh, that's called Lady Gaga. I never know what's called Lady Gaga. But I said, wow, why does it look like an animal? Somebody can be look like an animal, wearing close to nothing, and just sexually explicit music, MTV. In USA, there's also another very famous pop star, also learned from the same style. How can someone like those music? I can't imagine. But really, if Satan control your heart, you like those music. If you really like those music, you should pray and ask the Holy Spirit cast out demon and throw all the music away. Those are your idols. If you keep those music, you're never close to God because the idol is inside. Right? So, ask God what God likes. What's God's will? What God likes? Pray to God. What do you like me to do? What I like to do? So that is very important. And keep from sexual immorality. Other people may be laughing that you are a virgin, but in God's eye, you are so precious because you are a virgin. You want to reserve this for your wedding night. And that is exactly the things, the will of God. No matter whom you marry, I don't ask who is God's will to marry, okay? But God wants you to marry pure. Write it down. Write it down. Very important. Don't ask, oh, who is the one who is God's will? Everyone in church, same faith could be God's will. But God wants you to marry pure. Don't marry a Gentile. Don't marry an unbeliever. And don't have sexual relationship before you get married. Those are not God's will. God wants you to marry as a pure, virgin person who receive God's blessing. Right? But this is very important. Imagine, some people say, how about I bring somebody to Christ, right? We marry first, and then we bring him to Christ or bring her to Christ. Of course, in our church, this happens sometimes. But sometimes I think this way, right? If you're dating an unbeliever, you know, unbeliever, what they are thinking, do you know? When they're dating with you, especially your sister, be very careful. Unbeliever guys, when they're dating, what are they thinking? Do you know? Do you know what they're thinking? What's the ultimate goal? Unbeliever guys, what they're thinking. Any sister can tell? You're so pure, you don't know about the world, right? I tell you, unbeliever guys, when they're dating with you, they're only thinking about sex. Really? That's all they want, that's the goal. So that's why they keep changing girlfriend. After they achieve the goal, they get bored already. They find another person. They don't want to marry you necessarily. So this is all they want. If you give in to them, if you date them, you put yourself into spiritual danger. You may commit fornication because unbelieving guy could be very aggressive. They know how to conduct, how to win your heart. So that's very dangerous. And even, okay, you say, I'm not committing fornication, I marry him, okay, and then I bring him to church. Some people does that, right? But think about this. The guy you marry, who is an unbeliever, or the woman you marry, unbeliever, maybe he or she has slept with so many people before he married you, isn't it? You may not be his first one. Or of course, may not be your last one either. Maybe they'll do something outside marriage. So if you marry someone who's not pure, who have slept around before, this is also a sexual immorality, right? So have you think about this very serious? So don't risk your spiritual life. You're not a church member. I'm not yet ready to get married. Nothing should happen between us, right? We should have a determination. I want to marry pure. So this is God's will. God's will is for you to flee from sexual immorality. Okay, and then what's God's will? Chapter 5. Just jump quick to chapter 5. Verse 16, 5:16. Continue. 17. 18. Okay, so this is God's will. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. Praise God always. So these are God's will. So God's will is very clear in the Bible. Let's turn back to chapter 4, about verse 14 to 18. Verse 14 to 18. Talk about eschatology. What will be the detail about when Jesus comes? What will happen? Next. Probably God revealed, or Jesus revealed to Paul about some detail. First, resurrection have an order. It's not just random who resurrect first, right? Those who die in the Lord before Jesus come will resurrect first. If you're still alive at the time, you'll wait, right? It's fair, right? First come, first serve, right? First come to Christ, they die in the Lord, let them resurrect first, right? We are later, right? Or they hoi tang ha. Just like you have to line up, you cannot jump the queue, okay? So your grandfather or the people in the Old Testament, they'll resurrect first. So wait until if you're still lucky, maybe you're old at that time. Wait until all they resurrect and then you get caught up in the cloud. You hear here also mentioned about the last trumpet. You hear this that last trumpet, it's a spiritual trumpet. At the time you got caught up, you transform, met the Lord face to face, and will be with the Lord forever. So this is really very detailed that did not even record it in the gospel, but Jesus revealed to Paul about this. And chapter 5 talks about the day of the Lord is just like a thief and no one can predict the timing. That's just exactly what Jesus said. So basically this First Thessalonians about the eschatology and prepare ourselves to live a holy life. So I think young people, for us, the biggest challenge now in our generation is sexual purity. Really, this is the most difficult challenges. Because internet, media, your friends, everywhere is sexually immoral message so much. If we don't keep ourselves, then when Jesus Christ comes, we will not be ready. We'll be forsaken. So we have to keep ourselves pure. Let's pray together.
name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
How's your morning been? Alright, no one falling asleep yet? No? Drink more water if you do. Okay, keep hydrated, because the sun's been out, so it's been quite sunny. So keep drinking water. If you're tired, take a nap if you need to. Okay? So, a few announcements. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, we know there's... Newcastle has their local service, okay, which starts in 5 minutes. So obviously it'll be held in the chapel. So when you go downstairs, please be considerate. Be quiet when you go downstairs because they've just started service. Okay. So after you've had your lunch, stay downstairs. Okay. So if you've got the assignments to do, take them downstairs with you. Okay. Stay in the dining hall. Okay. Also, when the service is finished, if you see some members, be courteous and say hello or hallelujah. Okay? 3 o'clock ASF session will be a fellowship downstairs in the dining hall. Okay, this is for everyone. Okay, all 4 years together. 4 o'clock Q&A will be downstairs in the chapel, and again with all 4 years.